Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 4th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family, through two paragraphs ending with, is worth any amount of criticism and commenting on both. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Shauna O, 12 Traditions, Kathy Jo P, and readers of the text, Wendy M, Jordan P, and Julie E. B. The reference numbers for Thursday, August the 23rd, the 10 a.m. meeting, 11828, and Friday, August the 24th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11828. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shauna O. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Shauna O., recovering compulsive eater in Washington State. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Shauna O. And Kathy Jo P., could you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Yes, Kathy Jo P. in Minnesota, recovered compulsive overeater. 1. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family, through two paragraphs ending with, is worth any amount of criticism and commenting on both. And Wendy M., could you read for us, please?
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Lynn S., for your service. Everybody on the line, and God, thank you for my entire abstinence. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight, showing them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. If you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without becoming critical of them. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. And again, I'm Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line with everyone. So what popped out for me here is you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Okay, so what's up for me with this is a continue for a lifetime program. And what that means is that these things are not an overnight matter. They're going to take time. And I, you know, am one of the most impatient people I've ever met. And I want my defects to be resolved this moment, right? I don't want to feel uncomfortable at all, ever. I want it all to be cleaned up today, right? I'm an addict, and I want to feel good all the time. So what this tells me is that it gives me permission to be a human being. And it gives my sponsees the permission to be human beings. And I'll call people and I do a 10-step, and it's on the defect that I talked to them yesterday about or last week. The point being that there's some radical acceptance in this paragraph for me. And this radical acceptance says, I accept myself exactly where I am today. And if I accept myself exactly where I am today, knowing that I'm perfect exactly where I am, exactly, no matter what, right? So if I wake up every morning with fear in my gut because I'm going through a divorce and I'm dating someone and right? The thing that works for me is radical acceptance. Like everything that I'm feeling, all the bursts of tears, the phone calls to you guys, whatever it is, you know, this is a continue for a lifetime program. I don't have to get it right now. And I can be so hard on myself. I'm not enough. I should know this by now. Well, guess what? I'm doing the best I can. And everything that I'm experiencing with my defects is exactly where God wants me to be. If I'm resisting these defects of character, it will persist. I will be fighting myself and fighting God. And the moment I go to radical acceptance of self and then of you, when my sponsees call, if I'm in acceptance of where I'm at completely, then I'm in acceptance of where you're at. And God can enter. God can show up when we release it, when I let it go. And then it says we're going to enter a period of growth. Oof, you know what I say? You know, put on your seatbelt. It's a rocky ride, but it's a beautiful ride. I am growing all over the place. I'm in a lot of feelings all the time. I'm calling you guys constantly, right? But the thing that's most important here that I think is most important is just this accepting self, accepting others. And it's radical because what happens in this program is my change. That's the miracle that happens in this program is my change in my perception of my own growth. If my expectation is, Wendy, you should have this by now. You shouldn't be feeling all these feelings every day going through a divorce. You shouldn't be feeling these. You should be done. That's not going to be useful, right? But if I change my perception and I say, oh, my God, everything that I'm feeling makes perfect sense. And everything that you're feeling when you call me makes perfect sense. We are in God's grace in that moment. We are free to feel God's
time,
love.
Please.
And the last thing I want to say is I forget that I'm neutral with the food. You know, the expectations can really be a killer. But for today, I'll be in radical acceptance. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy M. The line is now open for sharing on what was just read. Please say your name just once as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Donna.
Jennifer
Britton.
H.
Okay, sorry, I heard two people at once. Was there Shauna? Were you there?
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, and there was someone else?
Jennifer H. Jennifer H.
Yeah, gotcha. Thank you. Anybody else?
Tracy V.
Julie E. B.
Kathy Jo P.
Rebecca T.
Denise Great. H. Let's go with what Rebecca, and was that Denise at the end there?
Denise H., yes.
Okay, let's go with our lineup then. We have Donna B, Jennifer H, Tracy V, Julie E. B, Cassie Jo P, Rebecca T, and Denise H. Donna B, could you start us off, please?
Yes, my name is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater calling from Denver, Colorado. I very much appreciate the opening share, and it resonated with me entirely. I'm looking at page 66, which is how it works, when we start talking about resentment before the sick man's prayer. And I've recently replaced the word resentment with inner critic, and it is amazing to me how perfectly it fits. And I just want to share that with anyone who may, like me, have the tendency to beat myself up. I read it as, it's plain that a life which includes inner criticism leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that I criticize myself, do I squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with a compulsive overeater whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of constant inner criticism is infinitely grave. I found that it is fatal. For when harboring such criticism of myself, I shut myself off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of food returns, and I will eat again. And with me, to eat is to die. In prayer this morning, I had this profound awareness, which was so very simple, a serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And when it comes to this constant inner criticism, I have a really hard time differentiating what I can do and what I can't do. Yesterday, I did a 10-step with a friend, and she asked me, have you invited God in? Because it sounds like you're doing a lot of work yourself, which doesn't leave a lot of space for God. So the simplicity of the serenity prayer has hit me so profoundly that as I hear that inner criticism, I can ask God to help me differentiate what God will do for me and what I can do for myself. And one of the things I can do for myself is to stand up to that inner critic and not tolerate the abuse. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. Jennifer H., it's your turn, followed by Tracy V.
Hi, I'm Jennifer H. in Huntsville, Alabama. And thanks for chairing and everybody for being at the meeting. And I am really grateful that we're going through this chapter. This is only my second time to call in. I've made it through the steps and have been absent for over 5 months. And I know that I have to do 10, 11, and 12 because you guys, I got the clear instructions, you know, in the beginning that, you know, if I stay away from alcoholic foods, I won't have the but the other part is if I don't stay in 10, 11, and 12, the obsession of the mind will come back. So working with others includes sharing on the meeting, you know, sharing on the phone, and these paragraphs help me to remember that all it is sharing my own experience, strength, and hope. You know, so I might, you know, call somebody and they're talking about a lot of stuff, but we don't in this program provide solutions for them or provide advice or anything. It's just share my experience, strength, and hope. And it says, if I've been successful in solving domestic problems, tell them how it's accomplished. So instead of criticizing, it's just share my experience, strength, and hope. And just remember that, you know, things are not going to disappear overnight as far as defects of character, but it's a miracle that, you know, that I'm out of food and, you know, that's something that I can feel good about, you know, on any given day if I get discouraged about progress. So I'm grateful to you guys for being here, and I will pass.
And thank you, Jennifer H. Tracy V., it's your turn, followed by Julie E.B. Press star 1 to unmute, Tracy. Okay, Julie E.B., can you go now and we'll pick up Tracy later?
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Oh, wow. What a powerful group of paragraphs. I'm thankful to the moderator, to everyone who does service on this line, and for the person who pointed me to this line and this way of staying with the steps, because this is a family disease for me. And how is it that my sponsor and that those I sponsor can have the gift of me not participating in quarrels Well, when I read out of the big book and listen to people as they have spiritual experiences and are learning, then I'm not participating in any quarrels or drama. And when people call me and they release a 10-step instead of going into or do a 4-step and are very brief in terms of the causes of the resentment, the causes of the fear, the reasons for the harm, then I, by following these simple instructions and staying out of their quarrels and pointing them to what changed for me, which was knowing my part. I was in another 10-step program, but always I was blaming others, even as I thought I was working the steps. But here, I can spoil my chance of being helpful if I try and tell you how to run your life instead of simply sharing how I got out of the food and encouraging you to maybe share with your family, I've been really sick, I'm trying to do better, I know you're not going to believe me for a while. I have a real blessing. There are people on this line who have helped me as I've had pain over my family and members in the disease. And I have the gift of sharing the recovery process with several people in my family. And that has happened because I entered on a period of growth. And as long as I was trying to do it perfectly, I was just being harder on myself. It was driving me back into the food. But once I embraced what it said before, spiritual progress, not perfection, onward movement towards a goal from the paragraph before, onward movement, that's all we ask. And so we may ask our family, can you hang on a little while longer? I'm making onward movement towards the goal. And Sunday, I start the full-time job I applied for 3 other times because my boss said she can see I'm self-reflective, that I know my part, and that I'm able to make changes when I have problems. Before, I would have just sunk under the table with the food. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.D. Kathy Jo P., it's your turn, followed by Rebecca T.
This is Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. I was the queen of calling people to twirl in the toilet with me and tell them everyone that had wronged me and trying to convince the world why I was right and everyone else was wrong and how everyone should see my side and feel sorry for me and make me right. And I'm going to say that right got me nowhere. There's a saying, only to the extent that I can be wrong, can I be free. And I know that here it's talking mostly about the person that we're helping and being helpful to them. And but for me right here, what I'm thinking about is how I was helped by all of you in helping me to look at how I showed up and how I have been selfish, dishonest, and afraid, and how I can learn through this program to go to God and start to be of service and to own my part. And my hair girl that does my hair, and we were on the phone quite a while, and I've seen her several times in the last 2.5 years, and we were about ready to hang up, and she said, you know, I just want to tell you, I notice you don't complain about Jerry anymore. You used to come here and spend most of your time telling me everything that was bothering you about your husband. And I'm going to tell you, that is such a miracle, and it is so true. I used to spend most of my time complaining about other people and what was wrong with them. And I can say that I really don't do that anymore. And that is such a blessing. I had a sponsee call me maybe 2 months ago, and she wanted to complain about her husband. And she kept saying, can we talk about that? And finally, at the end of our conversation, I said, you've got 3 minutes. And I really believe it's not helpful for us to talk about what's wrong with everyone else. And really what works is to focus on our wrongs, our way to show up better so that we can be more at peace. And I'll say it again, only to the way that I can be wrong can I be free. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Rebecca T., it's your turn, followed by Denise H.
Hi, it's Rebecca T., grateful, compulsive overeater, recovered for today in California. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to say thank you all for your open and honest shares. I feel, you know, my higher power speaking through all of you, and that's when why I tap into my awesome fellows, because, you know, I know life still happens, you know, and relationships are, you know, still a little challenging for me, and they're, of course, beautiful, definitely more beautiful and more wonderful in this new way of life. But I have to remind myself to be less critical of myself and to have that patience and to slowly and gracefully, with love and patience, walk through the uncomfortable feelings. Because, you know, I notice myself still, I go into self-pity, and I'll start whirling around in my head about the things that aren't working, the things that, you know, old past behaviors that still are getting to me, or things that, you know, I wish this person would do this, and they're not, and why haven't they done it yet, and all that kind of thing. And it is true that when we think about our part, and when I think about where I can change, and, you know, how I think I can do better, then I can be able to pause and be open for what my higher power has to tell me. Definitely not into the self-pity. The self-pity definitely will bring up anger and harbor ill will and ill feelings for pretty much everyone around me. So with patience, love, and acceptance, I will move forward, and I will take those small, graceful steps. And for today, I'm so happy for all of you, and I'm happy for this, grateful for this new way of life. And I will keep trudging along. And I know I'm in the solution, so the answers will come in their own time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Denise H., it's your turn, followed by Tracy V.
Hi, I'm Denise H. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I'm Denise H. in East Tennessee, a beautiful, gorgeous, cool day in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains. I have a question for a recovered person. I'm noticing here in this paragraph that they talk about working with the family. And I never hear anyone on the line or in face-to-face meetings either, anyone talk about working with the family. And I don't know how this looks in modern-day times. Maybe in the 30s it was more likely. So I'd like to hear anyone who could address the specific, you know, they're talking about warn the family against arousing judgment. You should point out his defects of character are not going to disappear. You should show them, blah, blah, blah. All these are almost like they're addressing the family directly. And I'd like to hear if there are any recovered people who have worked with family members and how that's really done. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise H. And Tracy V., are you there or did I make you up?
Hi, this is Tracy V. Can you hear me?
Yay. Yes, we can. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't figure out how to get back to my keyboard on my phone. So I'm sorry about that earlier. I'm driving, so I didn't want to wreck. But anyway, I just wanted to share today and, you know, and thank you for everyone here and your service. And I totally relate to everyone shares. I was also the queen of complaining about other people and, you know, how they did me wrong. And it was their fault. It wasn't my fault. It truly, you know, I didn't think that I ever did anything wrong and everyone else harmed me. And you know, and it's funny how we always hear what we need to hear. And I know that that's my higher power speaking to me through you about, when you're working with others and, you know, we're here to be a guide and a step guide and to help guide people through the steps and, not be a counselor or, you know, I mean, to be loving, patient, kind, and tolerant. But, you know, to not kind of be a sounding board or to just hear all the problems and things like that. And that I was actually, speaking to my sponsor about that yesterday. And so it's just funny that we're talking about that today. And you know, I don't know what else to share. I'm kind of, I'm driving right now, but I did just want to, you know, share and to tell everyone I'm so grateful, for my recovery and that I can say I'm recovered today. And I never thought I would get there. I truly didn't. I never really understood what the 10th step was. And I've been in another program for going on 10 years. And I, you know, never worked the steps the way that I work them now. And I can see such a growth and change within myself. And I know, someone was sharing earlier about not being so critical on myself. I'm the hardest critic on myself than anyone else can be. And that accepting that it's okay. I'm not perfect and that's okay. And my character defects are here and God will remove them as he sees fit, you know, to be useful to others. And that's such a growing period for me to be able to say that and mean it, not just say it, but truly feel it and mean it in my heart. And I'm just so grateful for the peace and the serenity that I feel today. And it's due to this program, my higher power, you guys, the steps, and myself for doing the work, you know. So anyway, that's all I have to share. And thank you for listening. And I pass.
And thank you, Tracy V. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are on page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family through two paragraphs ending with, is worth any amount of criticism. And we're commenting on both. And could you say your name just once, please, as it helps me hear everybody? Who would like to share?
Marilyn T.
Mary G.
Jordan L.
Deb G.
Alana M.
Karen R.
Okay, let's go with that lineup, please, and just check the time. We have Marilyn T., Mary T., Jordan L., Deb G., Alana M., and Karen R. Marilyn T., please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Marilyn T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. I just last night finished the 12 steps and I will start sponsoring and announce myself later on today at the end of the meeting. And I am just drawn to the recovery that I have experienced in this program in such a short time to be able to go through the steps, to be able to turn around my thinking, to connect to my higher power, and to get out of self-pity and remorse, and to actually be and see and work the solution of the program in these pages, and to actually look forward to sponsoring and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and to being of service to others. That is, that's the goal. Instead of, interesting, I had an experience yesterday where I could have complained about the whole situation and how it all worked out, but that was not for me. All I could think of was I really needed to pray for that person because it was obvious they weren't well. And that was the interesting way my mind now works, which would never, ever have happened before. It's a very emotional and exciting and peaceful and serenity, all rolled into one, which is kind of interesting. And being able to solve all your problems with just a faith in a higher power, and that it's not you that solves that problem, it's your higher power. So to surrender to him and or your higher power is just the most amazing thing, and good things will come. Thank you so much for letting me share. Bye.
And thank you, Marilyn T. Mary T., it's your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Mary G. Can I be heard?
Yes, Mary, thank you.
Uh-huh. I'm Mary G. from Arizona and currently in Minnesota. This paragraph just really, really struck me, and I thank you for everybody who shared. I especially would like to share again on the Serenity Prayer. In my experience with, you know, my family, and, you know, it says here, if you've been successful in solving your own domestic problems, well, this was my problem, was that I always focused on what I couldn't change, which is someone else, instead of looking at what I could change, which was myself. And even though I prayed for the wisdom, I didn't, you know, get a direct, like, email or something from my higher power saying, this is what you need to do. You need to focus on yourself. It was only by listening and, you know, getting a sponsor and vision and working through the steps that, you know, I was able to let go of a 5-year resentment that my experience was other people told me, yeah, you're right. You have a right to be resentful. You have a right to hold on to this, you know, feeling, and you have a right to be hurt, and this is wrong. You know, what your husband's doing is wrong. And I spent 5 years of just struggle and just pain over this. And when I went through this, the steps with my vision sponsor, she pointed out to me that, you know, I was praying and doing the resentment prayer and wanting that other person to change. I wanted their behavior to change, and it wasn't going to happen. And meanwhile, I was putting my husband, his children, you know, and everybody else in a horrible, painful situation of choice, including myself. I would just, you know, go through these terrible feelings of I don't belong, this isn't right. And boy, did I have to learn to let go of my rights, my expectations, my definitions of what family and belonging mean. I cannot change another person. That's what I can't change. The only thing I can change, the only person I can change is myself and my attitudes. And boy, when I had that freedom of saying, I don't have to be right, this is not the, you know, reason that I have to hang on to this resentment, I cannot tell you what a freedom and what a peace that has been for me. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I heard in these rooms, if I am not the problem, there is no solution. And I'm just so grateful that today, you know, I have experience and hope of working through some of my domestic problems, but it's not because, you know, I've been able to change anybody else. It's because I work on myself, because I can say to myself, you know what, my character defects are not going to change overnight. you know, I just wanted God to remove them. Please get rid of them, get rid of the consequences. But really, I've entered on a period of growth, which to me is the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Mary G. Jordan L., it's your turn, followed by Deb G.
My name is Jordan L. I'm a compulsive overeater. Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, thank you.
Good morning, guys. Good to be on the line this morning. So, when working with a man and his family, I mean, yeah, I suppose in this day and age, we don't really work with the family of our men, quotation marks. That advice that you should not take, you should take care not in quarrels, that's sort of from the policy, if you will, that I've taken with my family of origin, my lovely parents and sister and brother, because I mean, I don't know. I guess I've come to see this as a family disease, and I've come to see that the way that they interact with each other, the fighting and quarreling that goes on amongst them at times, is that's like a result of the ism of this disease. You know what I mean? That's a result of the sort of pain that they live with in their own lives and in their own ism, if you will, as far as that goes. So I've just come to see them as being sick human beings that, I mean, I'm stuck with, right? Your mom is your mom, your dad is your dad. So I just try to show up and listen these days. I don't participate in any of those quarrels. I take a firm stance on just listening to them. And then, like, as far as the rest of the paragraph goes, you know, if my sponsor had, like, approached my boyfriend in early recovery and then, like, wanted to talk to you about, like, how to how to treat your sick person, your sick compulsive overeater here. I don't know about you guys, but my boyfriend would have been like, yeah, I'm going to go golf. Or I'm going to go fishing. Because I am my own worst critic. And certainly was before I started practicing these principles, right? So I think it's really beautiful that this meeting has turned into a meeting of compulsive overeaters sharing their experience, strength, and hope around, like, self-love and loving oneself. That's pretty beautiful because I think that this disease, the ism of this disease, maybe even more so than others, is very, very critical of oneself.
Time, please.
So I just wanted to share those thoughts. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Jordan L. Deb G., it's your turn, followed by Alana M.
Thank you for your service. I'm glad to be here. The way I interpret this paragraph, just based on my experience, and by the way, I'm Deb G., compulsive eater, recovering in the state of Washington, that when I work with a sponsee, I work with their sickness, and I treat them accordingly. And when they get to step four, I warn them against resentment and talk about why it's so important to unload those as part of our recovery. And I take them to the steps because when they come in, they're spiritually sick just like me. And I find that by working with the individual, that the whole family system ultimately changes as they change. I usually don't get involved directly with the family. I work with the sponsee, and they are very forthcoming about family problems with children, spouses, partners. And through that, and their own changes and their own work, the ripple effect is absolutely amazing. So I don't have any experience working directly with a family, but I do point out their defects of character and how they're not going to disappear overnight, and it takes time to work through the steps, just like it says in the appendix, that sometimes our spiritual awakening is slow and steady over time. It doesn't happen overnight, and that they are entering into a great period of growth. And in their own transformation, they're going to see their family differently. They're going to see the world differently. And they're going to come back to me and start saying how things have changed at home based on how they have changed. That was my experience in my own recovery. My sponsor didn't work with my family. My sponsor worked with me. And I brought my family issues to my sponsor. And that's how I began to change, through working the steps and having a higher power help me see the light and be willing to change. So I don't know what the culture of AA was like when this book was written. I don't have experience directly working with a family, but I interpret this to mean that we are touching the family through the sponsee by helping them work the steps, the tools, and developing a deeper relationship with a power greater than themselves. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for your service.
And thank you, Deb G. We have 4 minutes left and two people. So Alana M. and Karen R., if you both take 2 minutes, we'll fit both people in. So Alana, please go ahead.
Thanks, Lynn. Alana M. here, recovering compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Canada. I just wanted to share a couple of things. I also love this paragraph. And I can say that until the first time I ever did a step four or five, I never understood that if it wasn't their fault, I believed if it wasn't their fault, it meant it was my fault. And I railed against that. I really, until I did that fourth column, I just never understood that my part was the only part I could change, and it wasn't about blame. And I really found that that changed my life. The other thing, sorry, I was just running up the stairs to get away from my barking dogs. Anyway, so when I got a sponsor who was really into the big book, one of the things she gave me was, imagine that there's a videotape playing in your home, and you're going to play that videotape when you celebrate at your home group. And it's going to show what your program is like at home behind closed doors. And she said, anybody can go to a meeting for an hour and be on their best behavior. But what are you like when you go home and shut the door? Would you want your home group to see that? And it was like a pie in the face for me, where suddenly I felt these people I so admired on me in my home, which was where the worst of my behavior. And it was life-changing. Anyway, thank you. I just wanted to share that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alana M. And Karen R., you've got 2 minutes. Please wrap up for us.
Hello, this is Karen R., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic from North Carolina. This has been an awesome meeting. I just want to share what came to me is, as we recover, as outwardly we change, we are walking around and we are living, talking, walking big books to the world outside. And I believe it could happen where someone would say to me, how did you lose all that weight? Or I heard you were anorexic before, or you were bulimic before. How did you stop that? There is so many people suffering from bulimia and anorexia right now, and compulsive overeating. And when we walk around recovered, there is an opportunity to be talking to parents of these young people that are going through this, or relatives. Or so I wouldn't write this off just yet, because the miracle could happen. You could be an example. Somebody could be concerned for their family member, and may want to talk to you. And it's happened to me in other programs, and I have had people come up to me in this program
saying, wow, how did this happen to you? And then I gave him Vision's number and told him about OA. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Karen R. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Friday for making this meeting possible. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Jordan L., could you read, please, A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I just got to bring it up on my phone real quick here. My name is Jordan Allen. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This is Chapter 11, A Vision for You from the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great pact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.